Blog Talk Radio.
All right, my fellow VIP people. It is yet another Thursday on the VIP with Unique and Mecca. I am honored to have Rashida Strober back on. She was on some months back, and you know, it's crazy when she was on because we had a storm and it knocked us completely off in the studio, and it was just crazy because we was really getting into the thick of things, and we had been on for a good little while, and then you know, yeah, craziness with the weather knocked us off, but we had got to the end of the interview, so she's back. She'll be in Harlem, New York with her play of Dark Skin Woman's Revenge. So we're excited about that one, sis. I know you can't wait to get out there to ATL.
I know. Rashida, doing big things. She's going to be in Brooklyn as well, right?
I don't know about Brooklyn, but definitely Harlem. So you know I'm not mad about her being in Harlem, you know, because I'm an uptown girl. You know, if she was in Brooklyn, I'd have had to make it out to Brooklyn, too. But, you know, that's where I'm from, so
yeah,
I'm good. I'm good on Harlem.
In Brooklyn on Friday.
Well, all right. I guess we can clarify that when she gets on. I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm just happy to have her on because I really feel like people like Rashida are definitely needed, you know. They shed light on a subject topic that a lot of people, you know, kind of sort of shy away from. They feel it's taboo or whatever. But at the same time, I feel like people don't feel like it's taboo when you're downing people or you are, you know, using something that a person can't help against them, which is their skin color. You know, it's not taboo then. But when you want to come out and talk about it, and say, hey, this is not right, or, you know, whatever the case may be, then it's like, oh, you know, why would you want to do that? That kind of thing. So, since it looked like I lost you in the studio, but I'm going to just keep on going and start back again. I don't know what happened here. But nonetheless, so Rashida Strober is back on. Guys, like I said, we are definitely honored to have her to shed some light on a subject matter that people just don't want to talk about in this way. I feel like it's easy for people to talk negative about dark people, you know, but when you want to shed some light on it and when you want to bring it to a forefront to where it's like, hey, this is not, you know, something that we're going to accept. This is not something that we have to accept. This is something that's used as a way to build people who may feel bad about, you know, being dark or even, you know, being black, you know, whatever the case may be. That's when it's looked at like, you know, she's making a big fuss. Sometimes you have to make a big fuss. So I'm proud of her for taking a stand, you know. Yeah. Absolutely. I always think about how she was saying that she went through it in her own family. And I don't really know, you know, directly what that's about in terms of going through it, you know, in my family. You know,
the people that's supposed to love you, protect you.
Right. You know,
experience in that firsthand from the people that's supposed to teach you and love you unconditionally. So it's how do you deal with the public, with society?
Exactly. Or, you know, or even situations, you know, this one comes to mind, and I don't even know if I said this the last time, but, you know, some of the things that I go through with Jalen, or I've been going through with Jalen since, you know, he was an infant, and now he's 9 years old. You know what I mean? And people look at him and look at me, and it's just like, y'all related? And it's like, okay, the boy look like me. Look at his face. You know what I mean?
They can't.
In that time, that the lady.
Color.
Huh? Right, which is so crazy. Mm-hmm. That time that lady said to me when Jalen and I were having lunch, went to Wendy's on 125th Street, and, you know, it wasn't really anywhere to sit. So the one table that we could sit at, a lady was sitting there, and there was three available chairs. So, you know, we sat down and everything, and, you know, we're minding our business, and I'm talking to him about school and, you know, how was his day in school and that whole thing, and she sat there, and she listened, and then all of a sudden, she looked at me and said, I take it you're the nanny. I said, okay. You know, and so for me, on
not
the flip side of that,
very insensitive.
Very insensitive. There's a kid involved. Thank God, at the time, he was about seven, going on 8 years old at the time. You know, he was just kind of oblivious, you know, but at the same time, it's just like, you know, that's the flip side of it. I think people don't always focus on that side of it, too. We, people of color, I don't think we call people of color for nothing. There's a reason. And we come in all colors. And I think it's a beautiful
mm-hmm.
thing. But why can't he be mine because his skin is so much lighter than mine? You know what I mean? The boy sitting up there with the same nose on his face, the top lip, everything, you know. And I was just like, wow. And then by the time I really started pulling her up to speed, she kind of wanted to change the story. Well, you know, in my family, nobody cares about your family. Ain't nobody talking about your family. So don't even try to fix it now. You know what I mean? But it's just crazy. But I just, you know, the older he gets, I feel like I need to really start having a more in-depth conversation with him because he's going to become more aware that people do those kind of things or people say that kind of stuff. And I don't want it to hurt his feelings. You know, and I don't want him to ever doubt where that he belongs to us. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's the flip in of it. I just can't believe that anybody would be that insensitive where a kid is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Just not,
you know,
knowing
that. That's the thing. That's the thing that threw me off. You don't, and on both ends of the spectrum, you don't even consider people's feelings. That could have hurt
mm-hmm.
my feelings. That could have hurt his feelings if he was old enough not to be so oblivious to whatever that comment meant. But here's the thing. He probably doesn't remember. He may or may not, because sometimes he can tell me stuff from when he was 3 years old. But, and that was a whole 6 years ago. However, I am going to use that to explain to him when I start really sitting down having this conversation with him and, you know, letting him know that, hey, you're ours, you belong in this family, and you are just as much a part of this family as anybody else, and don't let anybody, you know, make you think anything other than that, because most of your family, you know, is dark and your skin is not dark. You know, so I you know, I'll use that as an example for sure. You know, so
it's just crazy.
It's a very touch and go thing.
Like,
yeah.
It is. And it's like we've come so far, but yet we're still stuck. It's like it's getting ready to be 2018 and we're still discussing color. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. just insane. Like,
mm-hmm.
black is beautiful. Light, caramel, milk chocolate, dark chocolate, we're all beautiful.
Right.
That's what makes us so fantabulous.
Absolutely.
It's just really sad.
It really is sad.
Really.
And, you know, to me, it's even more sad when you use it as a tool to hurt my feelings. Like, are you serious? You know what I mean? You got to be kidding me.
Uh-huh.
You know, and, I, you know me, You know, I accidentally fell into writing quotes. Hey, Rashida, I see you, girl. We about to open your microphone in 1 minute.
But
we excited about your play. We excited about the book.
Yes,
I
about
see you.
Everything. We want to see what's been going on since we last spoke to you. But before
right.
you click to her, I'll offer you to play.
I see it.
Get it together.
I see it.
By Indy. Can you hear me?
I see it. Yep, your phone was going in and out. I was trying to make a point, but I got so excited when I saw Rashida. Oh, my goodness.
yeah, we were
talking. You know, my quotes, right? So I know what it was. I'm a little Rashida Strober starstruck, you know, so I got a little excited. I thought I forgot what I was going to say. But what I was going to say is that what bothers me the most, and like I said before, I never went through the dark complex thing, and I thank God for that. And I feel like because I never went through it, I can be a vessel for those who do go through it, and, you know, I can shed some light on the fact that, guess what, you're going to be beautiful in spite of whatever color you are, because like my quote says, God does not make mistakes. He makes masterpieces. Other people just have opinions, and we're lucky that he allows us to have opinions, but at the same time, you're not going to use your opinion to down talk me, or if a, you know, or if somebody says, "Oh, you pretty for a dark skin, you know, a dark skin girl," or whatever
mm-hmm.
the case may be, that's not a compliment to me, because what you're saying is, I can't believe you look like this because the rest of them is ugly. Well, if you're saying that about the rest of them, you're talking about me too, you know. But I know what you're gonna say if I say what I'm gonna say next, so I'm not gonna say it. Come on, sis, before I do it, you gonna tell me I'm stepping on your toes, girl.
Wait. Since we were talking about that, you know, I wanted to make a point, because as you were saying
mm-hmm.
all that stuff, I started thinking of a different world, and I started thinking about
mm-hmm.
how beautiful I always thought that Kim was.
Kim.
She was absolutely beautiful. Her skin,
mm-hmm.
it was all one tone. She was beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, you know, it's been a couple of years now since I saw the picture, but she lightened her skin. And she looked like a completely different person. She
I feel
did
like
that.
Somebody showed
Sammy
me that.
Sosa. Yeah, Sammy Sosa did that. So.
Mhm.
It's like I really don't understand. The,
right.
the disconnect. And it's not
right.
like it was a, oh, you know, I have discoloration. You know, I want to make all my skin one color. No, it's like.
Yeah, that's
three,
my
four,
situation, but you know.
Yeah, it's like three, four
yeah.
shades lighter. Like,
right.
But,
right.
Yeah. So, as my sis, I guess what she was trying to say, she was trying to steal my line, but she, you know, she wanted to go ahead and give it to me. So, I'm going to say my piece. We're going to do what we always do about this time. Did I say it? So, you don't come natural no more, sis, because, you know, you can
oh, stop,
put me on
stop,
the spot.
Stop.
So, you know what I'm saying? I got to get it.
Thank you for joining the VIP with Unique and Mecca, two urban, compassionate, and sassy hosts who believe that everyone is a VIP through trial and triumph. Before we get started, we like to share the house rules. Please respect the views and opinions of others, even if you don't agree. Please avoid tea spilling on the pink carpet, as we want to keep our VIP area litter-free of judgment toward one another. And finally, please have fun and be inspired. Let's get it started.
Well, all right, all right. That's what we normally do. Let me really, really quickly, before we get into Rashida Strober, our special guest, I just want to play quickly Private Party by India Ari.
Oh,
I'm having a private party. Ain't nobody here but me, my angels, and my guitar singing. Baby, look how far we've come, yeah. I'm having a private party, learning how to love me, celebrating the woman I've become, yeah. I tried to call my mother, but she didn't get where I was going. I called my boyfriend and he said, call me back a little later, baby. I hung up the phone, I felt so low. Started to feel a little pity. That's when I realized that I gotta find the joy inside of me, yeah. I'm having a private party. Ain't nobody here but me and my angels and my guitar singing. Baby, look how far we've come, yeah. I'm having a private party, learning how to love me. celebrating the woman I've become. I'm gonna take off all my clothes, look at myself in the mirror. We're gonna have a conversation, we're gonna heal the disconnection. I don't remember when it started, but this is where it's gonna end. My body is beautiful and sacred, and I'm gonna celebrate it. I'm having a private party, ain't nobody here but me, my angels, and my guitar singing. Baby, look how far we've come, yeah. I'm having a private party, learning how to love me, celebrating the woman I've become, yeah. All my life, I've been looking for somebody else to make me whole, but I had to learn the hard way. True love begins with me. This is not ego or vanity, I'm just celebrating me. Nobody here but me, my angels, my guitar singing. Baby, look how far we come. I'm alone but never lonely, that's what I've come to realize. I've learned to love the quiet moments, the Sunday mornings of life, where I can reach deep down inside, or out into the universe. I can laugh until I cry, or I can cry away the hurt. I'm having a private party, ain't nobody here but me, my angels, my guitar singing. Baby, look how far we've come.
Look how far we've come,
yeah. I'm having a private party, learning how to love me, celebrating the woman I've become.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Party. We are making sure that it's not just Unique and Mecca. It is none other than Rashida Shoba. Welcome, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to say, first of all, I just got to say this to y'all because I'm glad we talking. I want to say thank y'all for every single thing that y'all have done to help me. I want y'all to know I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I love y'all, and I just appreciate it because y'all have done a whole lot, and I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't thank y'all enough. So
wow.
Definitely, yes.
Oh, well, when we say we're gonna be there for somebody, we mean it.
Yes, I see.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
And I wish I was gonna be in Harlem this weekend so I can be at the play.
Oh no. Yeah, well, you're not going to be there?
I'm in ATL, honey.
Oh, God, in ATL. I've been to ATL before, too, but so that's all good. It's all good. You'll be there in spirit.
You'll have one half of the guy, you know.
Oh, yeah, my sister's going to hold it down for the both of us.
Sometimes
amen
to
that's
that.
How we got to do it, Rashida, you know. And sometimes
yep,
it's one
right.
of those best of both worlds things. You know, because one of us is
yep.
in one area, and we don't always get a chance to be together a lot. But when we are, we make it together. But when we can't, you know, one of us is show up and show out. And I just want you to know that we got some people from Delaware coming to meet me on that day. My mama, who's on the line. Hey, Ma, I see you supposed to be over here with me right now, but that's a whole nother story, so I guess you're coming later. She's
oh, wow.
going to be there. My little sis. So, you know, we got a couple of people definitely, you know, coming out to celebrate you on that particular day. I have a very busy day.
Oh, man.
But I, you know,
so
that
awesome.
Day, but I'm making sure that I'm there for that.
Oh, man.
So,
thank you. I can't wait to, you know, just give thanks in person because it means a whole lot to me, man. I just not enough words to tell y'all how much I appreciate it. That's from the bottom of my heart. So thank you very much. Absolutely.
Wow. And we appreciate all that you're doing because, you know, I feel like somebody had to get up and make a stand. And somebody had to speak for those who, I guess, kind of feel speechless. They don't know what to say. They feel, you know, so heavy laden about the things that they've gone through just for living in the skin that they live in.
Yep.
You know, and so you're that mouthpiece.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say that's the whole thing about it. The whole shaming of it. That's a big part. I'm glad you brought that up because that's a big part of it. I can't tell y'all how many people, whether it be a dark-skinned man, dark-skinned woman, or they could be young, they could be old. And you'd be surprised the number, this is another thing, too, that I've learned, the number of older dark-skinned people that have been suffering in silence for years. They never said nothing. They just been living this life for years because people will shame them into not saying anything because the number one thing they'll tell you, oh, you jealous. You a hater. You just want to be light-skinned or you want to be white. And so that'll shame them into being quiet. That's like one of the things that I've seen, like, with older dark-skinned people. It's like, man. So, you know, absolutely. I'm glad to be speaking on it. It's from a real, true, honest place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sova Sita, you have, well, you know what? Let me just go back. For the people who didn't hear April's show, and it's funny because I said every time Rashida get on here, we having bad weather. Because when I saw this weather today, I said, oh, no, we're not doing this in the studio tonight. We got disconnected in the studio toward the end of your interview, and I'm telling you, the weather has been looking really, really crazy today. But I said, no, we're not doing this today. No, not today, Jesus. I know you got us, you know. But can you just give the people a background on why you started this movement that you started as the first dark-skinned activist?
Oh, absolutely. Glad to do it. It's just really is growing up. Being dark skinned and in poverty. I was just talking to a lady today, and she was asking me something kind of similar. She asked about the characters, and I talked about my mother. I'll never forget just giving you one example of the many things that I've experienced with darkism growing up. How my mother, she had five kids, or actually six kids, but my oldest brother lived with my grandmother. And I'll never forget people, we would come to churches, she would church hop. So one of the characters is loosely based on my mother. And we would church hop. And my mom is tall and dark-skinned. And she's not fat, but she kind of big-boned it. And I'll never forget how people, we would go to these different Pentecostal churches down here, and people would say, they would talk about her. There go that woman, you know, with all them kids, that ugly, you know, people would just talk bad about her. And I look back on it, and my mother acted oblivious to it because she would just be in there shouting and speaking in tongues and rebuking the devil, and it was almost as if she was oblivious to it, but I don't think she was. And I never asked her this because me and my mama never really had, like, a real, real good, strong relationship, but I was real observant of her and her mannerisms, and it's almost as if she would use the preaching and God as, like, this shield. So, and I was always embarrassed, me and my brothers, we was always embarrassed, because being poor and dark-skinned does not mix well in the South. People going to talk about you, they going to say nasty stuff about you, and when you're a kid and you growing up, man, it's really painful, and I was always embarrassed, and it's actually impacted me having a lot of kids, because in my mind, I started to associate this whole situation with being in poverty. So my mother was one of the dark-skinned women that heavily influenced this. And then, you know, just growing up, I had certain family members who got treated better And I love this family member to death. It ain't no shade to her or not. But having lighter skin and so-called good hair, she got treated better, got the compliments, got the gifts, got the attention that a grown child would want to have growing up. Well, I was just pushed to the side. I remember my grandmother told me point blank she did not like me. She treated my other family member better. She did use the word black A. I heard that a lot. It's just a lot of self-hate within my own immediate family. And as a kid, you can't really articulate it, but you feel it. You feel it, and you know it's something that's not right. You know you're not being treated fairly, but you're a kid. What you going to do? You know, and I know people think that I'm so talkative now, but I was very introverted, extremely introverted. And all these things I would see growing up, then going into school, being called the blackies, the tar babies. Man, I've been called every name in the book that's associated, every negative name in the book associated with dark skin in school. I actually wrote about some of the people in my play. I put them in my play, changed the names up, of course. The names that I would get called, I used to get in fights, used to get in trouble, all this stuff. You know, it was hell. It was hell. It was not fun. And I substitute taught for a while, taught at the college level for a while, and it was always my duty and my goal to make sure that no child, and I don't care what color they are, got picked on or bullied, particularly a dark-skinned kid, because I know what that felt like, and I know the isolation it could cause. I know the introversion it could cause. Not necessarily that introversion is a bad thing, but if you introvert in yourself because of all the negativity that you're receiving over something that you can't control, that can create low self-esteem, depression. Mm-hmm. You know, people have contacted me and told me about being depressed, all kinds of stuff. You know, and you have to, later on in life, you end up fighting through this stuff, and you're either going to conquer it and say, I'm going to be a winner, and I'm going to fight against this, and I'm going to achieve. But I've seen other dark-skinned people right here in my city go the opposite direction. I've seen it. I've seen crack addicts. I've seen depression. I've seen alcoholism. I've seen all that. You understand? So, you know, I looked at this stuff, and I said, I'm going to do something about it. And I did have a beautiful dark-skinned teacher. Shout out to her. She passed away, Miss Maddie Everett. She was one of the people that encouraged me, and she was there, and she helped me, and she entered me into what's called the Optimist Oratorical Speech Contest, and that boosted my self-esteem. And she used to grab my face and tell me I was beautiful. And I started entering into this contest and winning, and it boosted my self-esteem. So I knew I had – you gotta have one thing. If you can latch on to one thing, even if people saying you this, you ugly, if you got that one thing that you can fight for, it can bring you back. So I just started saying, okay, I'm gonna deal with this. And eventually I dealt with it through oratory, thanks to my beautiful dark skinned teacher, Maddie Everett, who introduced me to oratory, public speaking. I said, I'm gonna deal with this through oratory, and I'm gonna deal with it through the performing arts. Again, thanks to my beautiful dark-skinned teacher who sort of introduced me to drama and acting. And I said, I'm going to write, and I'm going to use my gift and talent to talk about this. And I'm not going to let people bully me and browbeat me anymore into being quiet. I'm not going to let that happen. I had to fight through it because, again, I was fighting against poverty. I was homeless. I was fighting against introversion, a lot of demons. But the performing arts and this having this passion about wanting to speak about this honestly, because if I can't talk about it honestly, people have gotten upset with me because I'm honest about it. I ain't going to talk about it. I got to be real brutally honest about it. And I'm going to deal with it through the school system, and I'm going to talk about it with the kids, and we're going to deal with this. And so in 1998, I got the opportunity to speak at St. Petersburg College talking about we could come up with whatever topic we wanted to come up with, and it was Alec Weck, super dark skin, black people saying she was ugly and manly, and I said, I'm tired of this, and I just wrote a speech and started talking about it. So that's how I just taking my, I know that was long-winded, I'm sorry, I just took my own pain and suffering, thank you, and put it into the performing arts. So that's what happened. That's it in a nutshell.
Wow. Yeah. People really talk about Alec Weck badly.
Oh yeah, gotcha. Man. This was like back in 19. All the comments that I heard. Let me tell you something. This whole manly thing just burns me up. People done said I look manly. I know other dark-skinned women, people done said, told them point blank, oh, she looked like a man. I ain't going to say this person's name, but I used to drive an ice cream truck, y'all. And I had this one particular dark-skinned sister with me. I'll never forget it. I pulled up in a black neighborhood, and this young lady was on the truck with me, and some guy walked up, and they just started going off on her. We got into it because they were saying she was ugly and black and what the hell is this beast on? It was, man, I done seen so much, y'all. I might be here all night long talking about the situations with darkism down here in the South, because in the summertime, it's hot and we get blacker. And it could be problems. You could get into fights.
Well, I don't get no tan because I just start on tan. I tell you in a minute, I don't get sun tan, I get darker.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
I have no problem with it either. How about that?
Yeah, so it's been a fight. It's been a battle my whole life, and I'm glad because this is therapy for me. I know it's therapy for a lot of people, but I'm telling you, it saved my life. You know, there's statistical data that shows and proves that dark-skinned young ladies in school, they get punished more harshly than their darker-skinned counterparts. The New York Times did that study. Same thing with the prison system. And I could have been a statistic because I used to get in fights in school because people used to pick on me, and I got tired of it. I could have ended up in jail somewhere. So it's a lot of dark-skinned people out there, males and females, I'm telling you, and y'all know this, that's being abused, and they're not given a fair chance. And they're being stereotyped because of their skin tone, and that's not fair. And it's a question of fairness to me that leads to economic inequality, because if you can't get treated fairly because somebody looking at you because they think that, you're going to have a certain tone of voice or you can get discriminated against on your tone of voice, too, being dark-skinned. That's happened to me multiple times. You know, all these stereotypes, that leads to economic disadvantage. And it's a big problem that people just really need to just understand and treat people fairly at the end of the day. That's really what I'm after. It's fairness. It's so many angles to this. You know, it's the marriage thing. It's the economic thing. It's the colleges. Oh, man. It's so many different facets of it. So it's not even funny. So.
Wow.
Well,
yeah, you definitely shed some light on a very, very broad spectrum, because I don't think a lot of people really look at it that deep, you know, even me, you know, growing up dark or whatever. And maybe it's because I thank God that I had a thicker skin and I wasn't really teased a lot. I didn't have to be tormented every single day. And my mother and my grandmother instilled some things in me from early on. So even the little bit of times that I think maybe I did encounter stuff like that, I just feel like, whatever, you know, you got to be blind if you think something wrong with this skin, you know. But everybody's not raised that way, you know, a lot of different things. So I wasn't the one that had to fight a lot because of things of that nature, but let's think about that. You know, somebody right now is being bullied because of that. Somebody might, you know, commit suicide because they're being bullied because of their skin tone. Somebody might decide that now I'm going to hurt this person really badly because they're being bullied because of their skin tone. And then that turns into, well, what's wrong with this child? That child must be crazy. Let's put this child away. You know, so it's very deep. So I'm glad that you're uncovering those layers as well. Wow, thank you. And shout out to one of my very, very close friends who's here tonight as well. She just texted me and said she was listening in as well. Del, I just want to give her another nice chocolate, beautiful sister. I want to give her a shout out too. We've been friends since we were like 13 years old.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for listening. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, it's really, like I said, it's really, you know, it's a lot of people, they see the anger, okay, and I don't think that it's fair that people go, oh, you're angry. I don't think it's fair that people call black women in general, dark-skinned women in particular, angry when the honest truth, if we're going to be honest and not lie and sugarcoat, we have reasons to be angry. You just mentioned some people may commit suicide. I remember, and I never say people's names because I want to respect their privacy. I had one dark skinned, heavy set sister that I was in communication with for about a year. And she told me point blank, I mean, the stuff that I have heard, you're right. This stuff can really drive people. Oh, man. If y'all could see my inbox with some of the messages that I have gotten for those that think that this is a game and it's not serious, just because somebody is not saying anything, you don't know how them being picked on can affect that person, especially affect them in their later life. Because it's a lot of people out here, dark-skinned people, that have been picked on because of their color, and they carried it with them through life, and they never got a chance to express it because they never had a safe space to do so. They were afraid people were going to judge them, and they carried, and it's built up into anger. And this sister was so, I mean, explosively angry, to the point where she was wanting to get down on somebody. And I said, you know, we can't do that. We got to find a better constructive way to deal with it, because we don't want to feed into the stereotype of the dark-skinned woman. And I get this to this day. I'm tall. I'm dark-skinned, super dark-skinned, by 5'10", 150. Some white people will look at me like I'm about to do something. I'll be like, whoa. And that's the furthest thing from my mind. I've even had people clutch their purses. Like, what is going on here? I'm not thinking about robbing you or doing anything to you. I'm thinking about handling my business. But that's what darkism does. This thing is so real. It's like you can't live your life without it happening in some shape, fashion, or form, especially in different parts of the country, whereas, you know, in Florida where I live, you know, that's how it is down here. And it's like, whoa, and after a certain period of time, man, I'm telling you, that stuff can mess with your mind, because I've looked at myself sometimes and went, am I threatening just by walking? I'm just being myself. I ain't bothering nobody. Jesus Christ. You know?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
But, I mean, That's what it is, you know, living with the darkism. That's what it is sometimes, you know. And I just want people to realize it, what's going on, and become cognizant of these things. Don't just be passive about it, and just, you know, treat people with respect. Why is it that a darker skinned person that's walking down the street minding their business, why do they have to be looked at as threatening when they're not in fact doing anything threatening to you, except just being the skin tone that God made them? It's make no sense when we really start to break this thing down and look at it. It makes zero sense.
Zero.
So.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Unique, I heard you kind of getting
really bad is that you expect, you know, to be treated like that by white people or people of other nationalities. But it's us that do it to each other.
Right.
That's the horrible thing. When we're supposed to be sticking together,
yeah.
It's like, have we not learned anything from slavery? Like,
it's right.
It's ridiculous.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm saying we have to understand, and really I think that we understand it as black people. I just think it's always been the big elephant in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So where we know it exists, and but we still don't want to honestly deal with it. We want to sugarcoat it, and you know, we don't want to be honest about it. And that's the reason why I keep doing this play and touring, because every time I go somewhere and do this play, it's like therapy for people. And y'all wouldn't believe that the demographic that comes to these shows, and I've been doing the show for a while, so I paid attention to it. These are middle class to upper middle class black women. That tells me something, you know, that these women, they've gone to college. They've done everything that the society told us to do to be successful. They've gotten their degrees. They've got good jobs, but they're still dealing with this issue. And I sat down often, I asked myself, why are these upper middle class black women coming to this show? It's a reason for this. It's a deep-seated thing that we still need to deal with. And I'm telling you, city after city that I've gone to, the same demographic consistently. So that tells me this is still the big elephant in the room, and that's why I'm passionate about doing it. The show, A Dark Skinned Woman's Revenge, and you know, I'm passionate about bringing it to the people because it creates a dialogue where people can freely discuss the issue without in comfort. That's the thing I really want people to be is comfortable, in a comfortable space where people are not going to say you're jealous or that's in your head. I want it to be comfortable for a person to express what they've gone through, what they, you know, how they feel about it, how it's made them feel. That, you know, there's been dark-skinned women who have contacted me. Like I said, these are educated professional women, and they have told me their personal stories. I had one dark-skinned professional woman told me that she never goes out the house without makeup looking, you know, decked out because of the darkism that she experienced in her younger days. So when you got those types of complexes, and this was an older dark-skinned woman, that lets me know it's still darkism is implanted in our psyche.
Those are the kind of things that hurt my feelings. And, you know, I've said it all the time. Like, when it comes down to self-esteem, I always say when people don't have a good self-esteem, I wish that if there was a way that you could share your qualities with a person, like if you could just dig within yourself, like literally go inside yourself and say, here, I'll give you a little bit of this, I'll give you a little bit of that. I would always give people who don't feel good about their complexion, their dark skin, that's what I would give them. I would give them whatever it was that was instilled in me to make me not have a problem with my dark skin, I would give them that. I always say that. I remember I worked at one point with handicapped people from low functioning to very high functioning. And one of the very high functioning ones, she called herself my sister when she realized we were 3 days apart in birthday. And she, you know, so she always had that thing. So she and I would sit down and talk. And one day she told me that she was ugly. And I was like, what? And she said, yeah, you know, I'm dark and I'm ugly. And I'm saying to myself, well, you're talking to another dark person. And so I let her talk and everything, and then she began to tell me about her boyfriend. And she said, you see, Christian, you know, he's light-skinned because I don't want dark kids. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing to me, you know, and not amazing in a good way. And we began to talk and talk and talk, and she said, well, you know, I look like an ape. And, I mean, it took everything, like I said, I think I said this last week or either on my live last week, I'm not much of a crier, but it took everything in me not to cry to hear her say that. And I kept saying, well, you know, you're not ugly. You need to, you know, look at yourself in a mirror. I said, and I'm not either. You know, I said, you know, I'm dark like you too. And she said, no, not you. And I would, you know, reference other dark women besides her, besides myself, who, you know, are beautiful. And she'd be like, she'd tell me, no, it's not you. It's just me. And I could not believe it. I was devastated.
Mm. Yep.
So those type of things, you know, really play a big part in our society, in our life, and it's like everywhere you go. And like Unique and I were saying before you got on, you know, they don't call us people of color for no reason. Colors are beautiful, no matter, you know, from the darkest to the lightest. And we are blessed to be able to come in so many different hues and so many different tones that, you know, I feel as though everybody just needs to appreciate it. And sure, like I said, you can have your preference. You might say, well, you know, I'm a little bit more attracted to this or that. Some people like tall, some people like short, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to make me feel bad about the way that God created me. No, you're not.
Right.
You know, but it's a lot. But Rashida, so you've expressed your play as a form where people can feel comfortable with, you know, living in the skin they're in and not having to feel like, you know, people are going to be like, no, you're just jealous or you're just, you know, whatever the case may be. What would you like for people to be able to walk away from after seeing your play? What would you like them to walk away with?
To walk away? I want people, that's a good question. I want people to walk away with an understanding of what it's like and the feeling of, to me, the most oppressed woman on the planet, the dark-skinned woman. I want people to understand what we go through, and I'm not saying this is for all dark-skinned women, but I do know for a fact that all over the world, the darker-skinned woman is the most oppressed, and it could be dark-skinned women from all ethnicities. It's not just African-American. I want them to understand that oppression, and then I want them to think about ways, grapple with ways to stop it, to stop it in terms of concrete results. So, for example, in families, because this is where I think it really starts at. Of course, the legacy comes from slavery and European expansionism and imperialism and all that stuff. But we move up to now where it's in families. So in the families, treat your dark-skinned children with the same amount of equality and love and respect as the non-dark ones. So start in the family, and not just with the children, but with darker-skinned relatives. Start to treat us equally. And then if you are in a position, a professional position, let's say you own a business, or maybe you're in hiring, maybe you're a teacher, whatever profession you're in, just be cognizant of the fact that we need to treat dark-skinned people equally. Equally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me,
mm-hmm.
because for me, what this really is about is economics. And I know some people may say, well, how are you making that leap? Because darkism impacts us as dark-skinned people. If we look around the world at the darkest people, if we look at Africa, we can see that Africa is one of the most impoverished places in the world, filled with dark-skinned people. Same thing, look at India. You have the darker-skinned people on the bottom, all around the world. And so we need to find ways to reverse that and make dark-skinned people equal economically. And that means in education, in hiring, in schools, teachers can make a huge impact. Oh, my God. If you are a teacher, this is the one thing I want to say, because I've seen to where some black teachers, we know what's going on with this colorism thing, this darkism thing, but we are too afraid to stand up because we worried about our jobs. If you work in a school capacity, and I've never been one that's been afraid of jobs, I don't care about any of that. What I care about is justice and equality and people being treated right. If you're in a school and you see kids talking about each other because of their skin tone, you can stop it. You're in a position to stop it. If you see a dark-skinned child, let's just be honest here. I've worked in special education. The majority of those children are dark-skinned. If you're working in a capacity and you see dark-skinned children and you know they're being mistreated, let me give you an example. I worked in a fifth-grade classroom once, and the teacher, she just decided she wasn't going to come back because she was tired of these inner-city children. So I came in there and took over, and there was this one super dark-skinned little boy. Everybody told me, oh, you're going to have to send him out. We might expel him. When I seen this boy walk through here, this super jet black little boy, I said, no, not on my watch. And I'll argue with anybody and jab with anybody intellectually that want to bring it, including the principal, whoever. We're not going to do this. We're going to work with him, and we're going to turn this thing around. And by the time we finished with him, he was good. He did not get kicked out of school and expelled like how they thought was going to happen, not with me there. So what we got to do is stand up. We can't be afraid to stand up. We can't be sitting up here worrying about our jobs and our credit cards. We got to pay our bills. What if you die and drop dead tomorrow? All that stuff is going to be here. What's really important is helping somebody, especially a child who can't help themselves. Because I'm not separate. It helps me. This poor, dark-skinned, you know, disadvantaged girl that didn't know what the hell I was doing, whose mother didn't care. Think about that. It's a lot of children that's in the system that's like that. And if you're in the system and you are a black person, it's your duty and your responsibility to help. And if you're not doing that, then you should just leave. And I see a lot of that down here in Florida. And it's really upsetting to me because we could do a lot to change the situation for these kids. So that way you won't have dark-skinned people growing up with complexes like me. I got over it. Sometimes I still don't think I'm over it. But I got over it in terms of not winding up in a system. But how about the other ones that didn't get over it? You understand what I'm saying? So that's what I want. Mm-hmm. I want people to take action, and think about, and I'm particularly concerned about, I keep mentioning children, because those are the ones that really concern me. It bothers me. I think about their life chances. What are they going to become?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be able to be whatever they want to be when they grow up? Or are they going to have to through all these hurdles? That's not fair.
And it's difficult when you're broken. So if you break me down in the beginning and tell me, you know, all these negative things about myself, and
right.
I begin to internalize that, then guess what? It's easy for me to turn out to be absolutely nothing because I believe that I'm nothing. I've been believing it from the start because that's all you've been feeding me.
Right.
So it's definitely
stand
important.
Up.
To, you know, I have been blessed to work in the environment where I work with kids. I do it every day between youth development and teaching. And I always,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially with my girls, because I'm so big on self-esteem, I always talk to them about, you know, embracing whatever color you are. You know, or you'll have that brown skin girl who's like that in-between kind of brown skin where a few more shades and you might just be light skin and you want to hold on to that so bad. That's not the complexion
right.
you are. And it's okay
right.
that you're not. You're brown skin.
That's right.
You know, so I have those conversations. And even those who might have a lighter shade, you're not going to talk down. We're not doing this. We're family.
Right.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day, so just cut it out because this is what you're not going to do here. You know, so I usually deal with it from that perspective more so, what they're doing to each other, how you're tearing each other apart. Wow.
Right. And I respect that, and I wish it was more educators out there like you with that thought process. I just think that we have too many black educators that are so caught up in status and position that they forget the whole reason. They forget about Malcolm X, for example, who was one of the most sincere people that I've ever been. I got so much respect for Malcolm because once he was all in, he was all in. Okay, he wasn't about no type of foolishness. We need black people like that to stand up. We need black people like Martin Luther King. You know what I'm saying? The sincere black people that saw what the problem was and realized, hey, we got to find a solution. And they went after the solution with their whole heart and soul. I don't feel that we have enough of those type of black people in society today because we just so caught up in other things. It's all about ourselves. And I understand that we got to take care of ourselves. I get it. We live in a capitalist society. But at the same time, I'm just saying, you know, like you just talked about, we family. You're right. And as a family, when you see one family member down and not doing good, you don't kick the person when they're down. You do what you can to lift that person up. And you do it with a honesty and a sincerity. And if you do it within that way, then I truly believe that, you know, God is going to work everything out for everybody. And so that's just what I want is for, you know, I want us to take action and just make it better for the next generation of young black men and women. I really wanted to be, and I want for to realize that dark-skinned people do have it harder. I really wish people would understand that. And again, just take action towards equality, economic equality,
wow.
social equality, political
wow.
equality. That's what I want.
Wow.
Amen.
I feel like we have it harder too, but sometimes I feel like if you don't live in this skin, then you're oblivious. You know,
right.
And not everybody. Some people might not be oblivious. Some people might be like, you know what? Well, you know, I see it every day. You know, I'm a black person like you, but I see it every day. I understand, blah, blah, blah. But then there's a lot of people who I feel like they're just very oblivious. And then sometimes with the being oblivious, if there comes the, that's when the whole, oh, you just jealous, or you just, jealous of what? For what? Because this is the color that God chose to make me? Why would I be jealous of any other color? This is what he chose to make me. Like I said, he don't make mistakes. He makes masterpieces. But everybody don't realize that they're a masterpiece. You know? Wow.
Yeah.
Shout out to Heather. She's listening, Heather. We see that. I see you listening. Shout out to you. She has a daughter who, yes. Her daughter. She told me her daughter really enjoyed you the first time that you were on. I think her daughter's about 15 years old. So she really enjoyed you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm kind of looking at
okay.
little comments too every now and again that I'm getting here on Facebook and stuff.
So this is really deep into your play. You're gonna be in New York. Is it true that you're gonna be in Brooklyn on Friday? I saw that.
Yes. I want to say shout out to I keep messing up the name. Y'all gotta forgive me for that. But it's a bookstore. Let me pull up the bookstore right quick. I'm gonna be there at 6 p.m. On Friday, November 3rd. And I'm going to be doing, this is not going to be the full production of the play. If you want to catch the full production, you got to come on Saturday. I'm going to be doing what's called a performance reading, and it's just because this is a bookstore and the space is limited. But the brother wanted me to come and do something there and speak on darkism. So it's going to be at Respect for Life Books and Things. That's where it's at. On Friday. So yes, man, I can't wait. I love doing performance readings, because that's going back to like the root. That's what I started off with, just doing performance readings of A Dark Skin Woman's Revenge all over the place, libraries, schools, colleges, etc. So I'm real excited to be coming to Respect for Life Books and Things. And that's located, I pulled it up, at 537 Nostrand Avenue. And for ticketing, 347-690-9042. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Say that number again, please.
Oh, yeah, sure. The phone number is 347-690-9042.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to clarify that.
You said
that.
At 6 p.m., right? You said 6 p.m.?
Yes, it's going to be at 6 p.m. Yep.
Oh. Okay.
So yeah, I get to go crazy.
When I heard that it was a one-woman play, it made me think of Whoopi Goldberg back in the day, before she was Whoopi.
Around the world in 80s days, that one. I remember sneaking to watch that.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said you're playing five characters.
Yes, five characters, five dark-skinned women from different economic backgrounds. So you got the educated,
bougie
dark-skinned woman. You have the ghetto, loud, wretched dark-skinned woman. You have the dark-skinned woman that's kind of in. It's this particular character, I didn't like her. It took me a while to like her, but now I understand her, so I empathize with her. Then you have the mentally challenged dark-skinned woman, and then you have the dark-skinned woman that's just fed up. She's been very observant, sitting back, watching what's been going on, and she's just fed up and just tired of it. So, yeah, it's a variety of dark-skinned women from – I tried to – actually, what I did, to be honest, because I write from my experience, so it has to be real and authentic to me, or I just can't do it. So it's based largely on myself and what I've seen around me growing up. So, yes.
Wow. And that's funny because that's what I was going to ask you. Of those five characters, which character can you identify most with?
The one
God. ironically enough, I could really identify with the one I didn't like. In terms of what drove her, she winds up getting married to a white man. And she does have severe self-hate, which is why I was like, I didn't like her, but I understand her, and understanding makes me empathize with her, and I can relate to. I'm not that way. I don't hate myself. I'm not married to a non-black man, but I can understand. So it took me about 2 years. It just really, some people you just have to, they just agitate you. But it's like, okay, if you pay attention to them for a while, and you really pay attention, you begin to understand them. And that's
mm-hmm.
So she resonates with me, and I feel sorry for her. It's a lot of empathy there because she has mental issues. She doesn't mm-hmm. appear to have mental issues. She looked like she got it all together. Again, mm-hmm. educated woman, but, she has mental issues. And there's another character that's mentally challenged, but this particular character has undercover mental issues, whereas the other character, we know, okay, that she's mentally challenged because she's been dying.
Uh-oh, your phone is going in and out, Rashida.
You can't have a repeat of last time. It's not raining over here.
I know, right?
It's raining over here.
Nah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Right. Right, right, right. Wow, and this is getting so deep. I just, real quick.
I know. We always get to the good part.
That's funny. Real quick, I just want to say, because I'm also looking at things people are saying. So, Dell, actually from Harlem, by way of South Carolina right now, she said, great show. Rashida Strober is awesome. Wish I could see her performance. Very inspiring. So she did one of your numbers from Harlem and, you know, jetted down south. In fact, lived right around the corner from you. You know, I always tell you, my friend,
mm-hmm.
lived right around the corner from you. So, you know, she wanted to throw that out there. So as I'm seeing little things, if I can squeeze in real quick, I'm trying to squeeze in there and just say things that people might, you know, be saying while we have the time to do it. I don't know. I lost her somehow, but what I want to do, yeah, let me see. You know what? What I want to do, I guess I can do the other India song, and I can see if I can get her. Something definitely happened.
Okay, that's fine. So we're going to go home to Get It Together by India Irie. One of my favorite songs, by the way. Sis, I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah,
so I'm going to try to get it right back. But just like my sis said, Indiari, get it together.
Like your kin,
What people don't realize is that, you know, whenever you take the unwarranted, unfair, unjust stance to, you know, to degrade anybody, it's like, you know, if they're not a strong person on the inside, you really are killing them, you know. But I just want people to know that at the end of the day, you can live through any negative thing that anybody has to say about you. You can. It takes a lot of convincing yourself because, you know, I feel like when people get to a point where you've allowed things that people have said about you to affect you when it gets to that point that it's repeated for you and you repeatedly accept it, it's harder for you to reprogram yourself and say, hold up, I don't have to take this, but I will say that it's not impossible. I tell a lot of my kids that I find with low self-esteem, and even people, because, you know, sometimes just by doing my lives every month when I do my Miss Mecca Answers Live, people say certain things or inbox me or whatever, and I always tell them that one thing you have to do, you have to get up in the morning and you have to look yourself in the mirror and you have to begin to talk to yourself. And whatever people say about you, you have to say the opposite thing about yourself. So if they say you black and ugly, you better look in that mirror and say you black and you beautiful. You know, if they say, you know, whatever it is that they say, you have to tell yourself the opposite. And you have to continue to tell yourself that until you believe it, because it's a mind conditioning thing. They told you the negative thing until you believe it. So now you have to tell yourself the positive thing until you believe it. You know, so guess who's back in the house?
Hey, Regina. Hey.
What's going on in Florida? Y'all having some storms down there?
Down in Florida? The weather is changing. Like, it's not as hot as it normally is. Like, it's usually, like, I don't know what hot, but I'm enjoying this weather because, man, it's been a hot, hot summer. So I'm very, very happy about that.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
Yeah.
But we lost you for a couple of seconds. You're back.
What was that?
I said, get ready to bundle
up. Good luck coming
in here.
Say that again.
I said, get ready to bundle up coming to New York. Get your hat.
You know what? I was afraid of that. I was afraid of that because we down here, I don't even have no winter clothes, y'all. We barely have a winter. I was like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? That's the only part that's I'm kind of like nervous about, because I'm like, oh my goodness, it's gonna be cold, and I'm not used to cold weather, so I gotta kind of get ready for that. So
This is the weather that we're experiencing now is like the kind of weather that we say if this is what winter would feel like, we would be happy about it. It's not really that cold. Mm-hmm. We are experiencing a long Indian summer, which is where, you know, you still might experience 65 degrees. But yesterday, I feel like it went up to 70 or 72. Mm-hmm. But what you got to understand is that our 72 doesn't feel like your 72 either. You know, it's not a southern 72, and it's also not a summertime 72. So it's probably like a cold day down south here, what a cold day down south might feel like. That's what we've been experiencing. But I've not yet pulled out a winter coat. I've not yet worn a hat. I've not yet worn scarves. And I don't play cold because I covers myself up. I got my mother on the other line. She will tell you, I don't play around with the cold. So if I haven't gotten to a point where I've had to do that today, I went out with my regular clothes on and I had just two sweaters for layers, you know, is what I wore. At nighttime, the temperature's going to drop. So we got to be her little forecast system because, you know, she don't know. She don't know what time it is in New York, but it's not very, very cold. And
I still don't.
You're coming to bring the heat anyway, so,
you
know.
Yeah.
Even though, I've had sandals on in the past 2 weeks, though.
You've had sandals on? Oh, my God. Okay, so it ain't that bad, then.
At nighttime, it wasn't even, you know. But as the weeks progress, you feel it getting a little bit cooler. So we'll just see. I'll keep you posted as we get a little bit closer to next week, Saturday, and let you know if the temperature has dropped, you know, and just how much, and kind of go from there. But, Rashida, now that we done gave you the weather forecast, tell us, you know, also your book, where people can find your stuff, things of that nature.
Oh, definitely. People could go to RashidaStrober.com, and I have at that website, I've been giving away a free motivational book for dark-skinned females, and honestly, it's for anybody. So you can go there. It's called How to Be the Hottest Dark-Skinned Chick on the Planet. You go there and get, you just put in your email, and I'll send you an ebook copy of it. I also have Darkism. Yes. Darkism, 25 ways dark skinned people are discriminated against, and that's raw. I'm giving it to you raw, telling you it's the stuff I said again, I used to be real introverted and didn't want to talk about this. But that book is the stuff that I always wanted to talk about, what happened to me as a dark-skinned person, like my pet peeve. If you do this to me, I will walk out. Going into a store or any establishment and people just giving me, I've had people have non-black or non-dark-skinned people of any ethnicity. I would be standing in line and they would take them before me. I've had this happen to me so many times I can't count. I used to take it and still buy the stuff, and I don't do that no more. You do that to me, I'm out. I'm gone. I ain't going to put up with it. But I wrote about these experiences in Darkism. It's like a confessional on what happens as a dark-skinned person down here in the South. So I got that book, and then, of course, A Dark-Skinned Woman's Revenge, the book version of the play A Dark-Skinned Woman's Revenge, which a lot of people, they told me they love the story, and it's a sixth woman. I know I play only five characters, but it's a sixth woman dedicated to my aunt who went through hell and back down in Miami, and I wrote that piece as an ode to her, just to honor her and let her know I was listening to her all these years, that she would tell me what happened to her, and it wasn't right. And I never forgot it. And that's my tribute to my aunt. So it's a sixth woman in there. I named her Marvetta McDonald in A Dark-Skinned Woman's Revenge. And she's telling her story about what happened to her in corporate America as a dark-skinned woman. And so that's all in A Dark-Skinned Woman's Revenge. And what else? Oh, that's right. Rashida Strober, A Dark-Skinned Girl's Triumph, the Rashida Strober story. Wrote this back in 2006 and created an audiobook in 2008, and that's actually free. Anybody can go on there and listen to it. It's like an audio movie, people have said to me. You can listen to it, download it, wherever you at. And I'm just pretty much telling my story. Like, I'm telling my life story about what happened to me and just sharing with people. That's absolutely free. Anybody can listen to it anywhere in the world. Just sharing with people so people could just understand and to let other people know that, hey, this ain't in your head. This is what we go through just to help people. I like to help people at the end of the day, and I realized that I could do that through writing and the performing arts. And so this is my way of doing it, just helping people. And I've been doing it in my community for years, just helping people, because sometimes you just got to listen and help folks and put stuff out, and it's going to be therapeutic for them. And I realized that. So go to the website. You don't have to buy anything. Like I said, it's a bunch of free stuff there you can enjoy and listen to, because it's there to help people at the end of the day. So that's what I have. Yeah.
That's awesome, Rashida. So let me ask you this. Will you be making any of the other books in the plays down the road?
That's a good question. I actually, A Dark-Skinned Girl's Triumph, the Rashida Strober story, I actually did that as a play initially when I lived in Los Angeles. I lived in Los Angeles from 2005 to 2008, and that play actually premiered at Theater on Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles. Shout out to Theater. And A Dark-Skinned Woman's Revenge is actually the sequel to A Dark-Skinned Girl's Triumph, because people was like, they liked it, me talking about what was happening to me as being dark-skinned. So I just decided, hey, I'm going to expand on this. Oh, they want to hear it? I'm going to expand. So A Dark-Skinned Girl's Triumph is actually a play that I did first. So I may go back and revisit that. But that's why I decided to put it out to people. And I've had people tell me they listened to it like 10, 20 times. I'm like, whoa, really? People like listening to that crazy stuff. But I might just do another stage version of it. And actually, I'm working on something with my daughter, Lauren. She's 5 years old. I got something in the works for her and myself. I don't really want to talk about it too much now, but soon me and her are going to do some form of a stage, because she's just been watching me and absorbing what I do, and I have to just include her in it somehow. And so, eventually I'm going to finish up this piece. It's fleshed out, but I'm still working on it for Lauren and myself and turn it into a stage play. So, yes.
Wow.
I love it. So have you ever thought about
big ever things
about
happening.
The book into a movie, maybe.
Yes, that's you in my brain, you in my head already. That's funny. I am going to create a screenplay for A Dark Skinned Woman's Revenge. That's coming. And that's the bigger vision of it, to turn it into a film, because that's I mean, where else can it go? It's a book, it's a play. The next level is a film. Some people have even said, why don't you put it on Netflix? I may even do that. So that's the next, yes, that's the next step. I just love theater, live theater so much, because I like the direct interaction with the people. I'm a theater type performer, but the movie version, yes. That's coming. I can see it as clear as day.
All right now.
So, yep.
That's cool. Well, I definitely got to make sure I get my hands on some of this awesome stuff, because I'm planning a women's event for March. Hopefully it'll be in March.
Oh, awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. You know, so I'm doing my door prizes, and, you know, I just want people to be able to leave empowered, you know, and I know that what you do is empowering. So, you know, and I know somebody will be able to use your, you know, what you've done thus far, you know, in terms of your writing. So definitely want to do that. And, you know, we've just been blessed to have so many inspirational people on this show that I'm just like, please. I said, you know what? Well, when I do my event, I got to make sure that everybody who's been on my show that inspired me in any way, shape, form, or fashion, that, you know, I'm able to bring their products or just do something so that, you know, the word gets out. And like I said, people can leave it inspired. So I'm, you know, kind of playing around with planning that. Not even playing around with it. I'm planning that right now. And we just going to make it happen. But we're excited for you, Rashida. We thank you for you know, for taking a time out to be on the VIP. And you know that this is not the last time.
Second time.
You know that whenever you're doing something, you got to hit me up. Mecca, I'm doing this. Unique, I'm doing that. You know. And then we just go from there. And we support each other.
Definitely.
Right.
Y'all need me, you know where to find me. Y'all know where to find me. You know I support what you do. Anything you're doing, just all you got to do is let me know whatever you need. And I'm one of them type of people that when I tell you something, I'm going to do it. And you can count on my word, my son. So just let me know and I'm there. I support everything y'all do. I appreciate y'all. It's no words to describe, because it just took so long for people to listen to what I have to say. So people like y'all mean so much to me, because you're just listening. You're listening and you're understanding, and that's huge. So I appreciate it.
Wow. Well, we both happen to be two dark women, two dark tall women too. So, you know, we understand that on both levels.
Oh, yes.
I'm 5'8" now. Talk
about
5'9".
Is that 5'10" and 5'9", huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Tall and dark. Yes.
That's right. Tall, dark.
Yes.
Well, Rashida, I wanted to ask you a question.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you if any light skinned women or brown skinned women come to you and say, hey, how come you not representing for us? Do you ever get that?
I get that. Actually, I do. And to be honest with you, I have a lot of light-skinned women that are actually in solidarity with me. There's a sister out of New York. Her name is Carla, light-skinned. And I remember she came to me years ago when I like started. And this woman is light-skinned, and she has been so supportive. She even co-founded a group called Dark-Skinned Women. It's on Facebook. Man, this woman is wonderful. My best friend is super light skinned, Shamina. Shout out to you if you listen. And Shamina travels with me. She hasn't traveled over the past year because she's been working a lot. But she's gone to dang on near every dark skinned show, I call it, that I've done. So, and her mother, Vita, who's super light skinned, and she passed away. May she rest in peace. This woman, when I was homeless, she took me in. And it is because of her, I always have to give honor to her. It's because of her that I wound up getting my GED, because I got stability living in her house. She fed me. She clothed me. She made sure I was okay and taken care of. She's light skinned, so I mean, God, these people, if they understood my background, they would be like, you know, if it wasn't for Vita, I honestly don't know, because, you know, no one wanted to help me, but she did, and she helped me from her heart. You know, there's a lot of people that will prey on teenagers that's out here on the street. It wasn't none of that. It was a sincere, pure thing with her. And she passed away. She had diabetes. She passed away about 2 years ago. And this woman was one of the most kindest, genuine people I ever met in my life. And she was a super light-skinned woman that used to come to my shows. Yes.
And see,
so
I'm so glad.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm glad that you had that experience, and I'm glad that you're sharing that, because I know in one of the posts, I remember saying that, you know, if you color struck, call in. If you can't stand being dark, call in, because it's not about, for me, this not only this show and you being on here, but this whole movement is not about a separation at all. It's not about, well, you're not welcome if you're light-skinned, and you're not welcome if you're brown-skinned. It's just about what, if you don't live and walk in my shoes, you truly don't understand. You can relate to it to a degree, but you don't really, really understand. And guess what? When you bring forth understanding, then there comes enlightenment. When you bring forth the enlightenment, then there comes unity and solidarity. So I'm not trying to be against any light-skinned person or against any brown-skinned person by sharing what my story is. No, because you still my brother, you still my sister, or whatever the case may be. But it's something that needs to be talked about. And maybe if it's talked about, it, you know, it'll start being looked at differently.
Right.
Instead of people just looking at it like, oh, they're doing this just because. No, you're talking about a light-skinned woman, who, you know, who brought you in and who did all of these things for you, because it was never about us being against each other in the first place, just because you use your gifts and your experience to create this forum. It wasn't, you know, that's not what it's about. It's not about being against anybody with a different complexion.
Yeah, it's never been about that for me at all. Like, that's never, that thought have never even crossed my mind in terms of, oh, hating anybody. Like, I'm not a dark-skinned supremacist. What I'm all about is equality for people, for dark-skinned people. I just have to be honest and say, see, this is the part where the honesty comes in. I have to be honest about it. I mean, I look at the facts. When I look around the world, and I'm not, again, we got to look at Africa. Our African brothers and sisters are suffering. Our Haitian brothers and sisters, our Jamaican brothers, oh, man, there's a lot of suffering going on. And I look around, and I see the darkest people suffering. We got to be honest and say, what is going on here? Why is this? And anybody that is a person that don't like seeing people suffer, which I don't like seeing human suffering, I can't stand it. It bothers me. It depresses me. So when I see the darker skinned people suffering the most, it's like, come on. Why? We look at Sierra Leone. I did my thesis on, I got to talk about Sierra Leone, because my brothers and sisters over there were warring and killing each other. You got these child soldiers over here killing each other. Think about what's going on with these dark people. Think about their pain and suffering. That's all I'm saying. That's what I really be seeing. And that bothers me to no end, and I want to do something. Mm-hmm. I need to do something about it. I need to feel like I'm doing something about it to be on this earth as a human being. You see what I'm saying? And it's like the dark skinned people. Okay, let me give you another example. I know y'all, we pressed for time. We got to go. But if we look at Haiti, for example. If anybody is honest about this, we can see that the Haitian people, they get turned back more than, for example, the Cuban. Those people, the dark people, are being turned back. That is a fact. Why are they being turned back? That's not fair. That's darkism to me. Why? These are the questions that was always in my head that I used to be afraid to ask, but I would ask some of my professors when I was in undergraduate and graduate, and they didn't want to address it. So it bothered me. I need people to talk about this. Why are you turning around dark-skinned Haitian brothers and sisters? Why? Why is it that the darker-skinned people, when it comes down to coming over to this country, if we look at it statistically, people from mm-hmm. countries where there's a lot of dark-skinned people, they don't get the visas like the ones from the non-dark. They don't. It's darkism. This is the type of things that I'm looking at. That bothers mm-hmm. me. And it should bother mm-hmm. anybody mm-hmm. that is a humanitarian. Anybody that's a humanitarian, you should be bothered by that. You know, I go off of the facts. If these people were light-skinned people that this was happening to, or white people, it would be the same thing. In this case, it just so happens to be that the darker-skinned people are the ones that are always getting mistreated and turned down and turned back. I can't stand that. That's another reason mm-hmm. why I do what I do, because I want to force the issue. I want to force people to speak on stuff that would make them uncomfortable. You know, I want and just looking back at my undergraduate years, well, these professors, they wouldn't deal with it. They didn't want to answer my question. I said, okay, they ain't got to answer my question. I'm going to answer the question. I'm going to force a dialogue on this in some way, shape, fashion, or form. This foolishness has got to stop. This foolishness has got to stop. It's a lot of suffering going on over in the third world countries. It's so much suffering that it just burns me up. And we got to do something about it. We're in a position to do something about it. So I just feel we should.
Absolutely. I have somebody who hit us up all the way from Michigan. Like, we want to see her in Michigan.
thank you. I appreciate that.
See you in Michigan.
I would love to. I would absolutely love to. God knows I would. I would love to. So, yeah. I just want to thank y'all again for bringing me on y'all platform. And I know I've said it a million times, but I got to keep thanking you because I really appreciate it. Because I can't tell you how many people just told me to shut up. Stop talking about that dark
thing. it won't be us. How about that?
Not here. We appreciate it. We appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate y'all listening.
I want to ask you something. Has any of your family members ever came to you and said that they were sorry?
No. Now, what they have done, because a big part of it is denial. So
yeah.
we people don't want to, they might know that they did wrong, but they won't admit that they did wrong. So what they'll do mm-hmm. is they'll come to my show and support it. So I've had family members come to my show and support it. So I guess that maybe that's their way of saying, okay. But
that's
I have never had anybody come to me and say, I'm sorry.
That's the silent sorry. And I can't
stand
the silent sorry.
That was
if I'm all wrong. Like, come on now. Wow.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Well, Rashida, hope to be able to go live with you for a second before you do the show or after you do the show, if I have time after, because I might have to rush after because I think I have another engagement after
okay.
the show. But at some point on Saturday, because I know there are.
Yeah, I can. You guys are breaking up. I can barely hear you now. Hello.
Yeah, I was
Hello?
Saying. I hope to be able to go live with you on Saturday, next week Saturday, when I see you. Maybe a little bit before, a little bit after, if I'm able to. I know my schedule is crazy. Like I said, I think I have an engagement after your show as well, but maybe
okay.
at some point, because I know there's a lot of people who reached out to me in April. There's people who reached out to me, you know, this particular time. So I'm sure, you know, you'll be able to say something to, you know, the people live on Facebook real quick, and then they get a chance to kind of see you if they didn't get to see a show or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I'm hoping to be
able
to do that.
Yes, I would be more than happy to do that. Yes.
Well, all righty.
Absolutely.
We will definitely try to make that happen. We can't thank you enough. You keep thanking us, but we can't thank you enough for being the brave soul that you are to shed light on a situation that a lot of people are afraid to shed light on or just don't want to, like you said, like your professors, for whatever reason. So we just thank you so much for being that ray of light. And again, you're welcome here anytime. Keep us abreast as to what you're doing.
Thanks again for being in, a part of the VIP on tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I love y'all. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to everybody that took the time to listen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty.
Thank you for spending time on the VIP with Unique Emeka. You can find us here every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. for the VIP experience. Bring a friend or look us up on Instagram and Facebook under Unique Emeka, spelled YOUNEIKMEKHA, or on Twitter under VIP.UniqueEmeka. And if you don't believe anything else, please believe that you are a VIP through trial and triumph. Thanks again for joining us.